would invite you this morning, if you would like, to turn with me to Colossians 2. I'm going to be in the book of Colossians throughout. Just going to kind of skim some things there and bring out some few thoughts. But if you'd like to look there, we'll be reading a few as I go through from those verses out of Colossians and also chapters 3 and 4. But the theme for my thoughts today is make thankfulness your default setting. Well, one day a few years ago around this time of year, I was making some pastoral calls at one of our local hospitals and heading to my next appointment. It was one of those full day overcommitment days. Didn't think I would need my GPS. Made some wrong turns and found myself on a very icy street in a less than safe neighborhood with less gas in my tank than I would like. And in trying to turn around, fretting, with my heart racing and annoyance, I was facing a very small and dilapidated church building. And then I noticed a little marquee in front of that building that said, "Thank God for what you have. Trust Him for what you don't." And what struck me as I sat and got over my annoyance was the order of that saying. Thank God for what you have. Trust Him for what you don't. I started to wonder, if I remember to be thankful first, what would trust look like in my life? What would lots of things look like in my life if I remembered to thank first and make that my default setting? You know, during this season of Thanksgiving each year, I mean, this is a true commitment I have. I am reminded of the importance of living thankfully. And I remind myself each year that the practice of thankfulness should not be something that I just simply attach or tack on to my Christian life and daily living, but instead it should be woven throughout my life. I still ask the Holy Spirit, have to each year, to make thankfulness an ingrained attitude and habit. Well, I just mentioned that the title of my devotion today is Make Thankfulness Your Default Setting. So I'm just kind of thinking along that idea, what is a default setting? Well, all technology has default settings. My smartphone has a default internet browser. My fridge has a default cooling setting, and my vacuum even has a default brush, and many of us don't change the defaults on our tech. We usually think that the current setting is good enough for technology to do its job, and we as humans have our own default settings. We might think of them as our core behaviors and beliefs, and when I kind of guess I'm thinking that when we do something by default, it means we kind of do it where it's become second nature to us and do it without thinking about it. With this in mind, I was drawn to the book of Colossians, which is one of my favorites in the whole Bible, because it is a strong, positive letter to the early Christians by the Apostle Paul, as we know. And in this letter, Paul is thankful, or inserts it prominently, no less than 7 times throughout the book in each of its 4 chapters. So I'm just going to look at a few of those. And say that according to Paul, I think one of the first things he says is default to outrageous thankfulness. So if you're going to default to thankfulness, it needs to be outrageous. It needs to be almost excessive. It needs to be overflowing. Look with me in chapter 2, verse 6 through 7. In the NIV, it says, "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him. Rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith you were taught, and with overflowing thankfulness," or overflowing with thankfulness. So true thankfulness by its very nature is not only the right lens to view our lives, but it's also most effective when it's overflowing. Again, this phrase of overflowing with thankfulness is not an afterthought or something tacked on. It is actually the essence of our Christian lives. Or should be, that I need to remind myself. Verse 7 speaks of being rooted and built up. And this is using an image of nature of a strong and growing tree. Now, in the image of thankfulness, then, he is thinking also of flowing like a water flow, like a waterfall or a faucet you can't turn off. So this is important because when the flow of the Spirit is operating in thankfulness, it can do things like overwhelm and wash away smallness, pettiness, selfishness. Everything, everyone is a gift, that we can maximize to some benefit when we are rooted in this idea, like a strong and growing tree, also overflowing with thankfulness. We should put our heart into thankfulness and ask God, the Holy Spirit, to help us to do that, for it to overflow. You probably thank others maybe throughout the day without really thinking about it. It's good manners after all. But how often do you really, or do we really, thank with eye contact, with our full attention given to that way in which we are expressing our thankfulness, in heartfelt moments of really letting someone know how thankful we are for them and for what they do? I think for our families, it should be a daily check-in. And I think also, if it's going to overflow in and through our lives and we are rooted in that as our default setting, that it's going to be something that we also choose to do, maybe to even catch someone by surprise, someone who's not even expecting thankfulness from us. We want to remember, and I like to remember, that abundance of thankfulness becomes circular. It can put into motion a reciprocal effect. It can set the mood or climate wherever you are, even online, between yourself and another person. But then I think Paul takes us to the next level as he talks to them about their lives together. And then we then find chapter 3, verse 15 through 17, where in the default to thankfulness, we default to expanding our practice of thankfulness. So it's overflowing, but we increase those practices, as I just spoke of. Verse 15 says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell richly among you, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts." There it is again. Verse 17, "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks," there it is again, "to the Father through him." So how do we live verse 15? Verse 15 again, "Let that peace rule in your hearts as members of one body. We are called to peace and be thankful." I think it means sharing. When we share with others in thankfulness, this brings to us together and complements that idea of harmony and peace. I think about specifics around the dinner table, Thanksgiving time. We can see how this would work, you know, the different kinds of topics that can come up with a family gathering. Think about how to live out verse 16. Again, "Let the message of Christ dwell richly among you, singing to God with gratitudes in your heart." You know, share your gratitude list with others. Just find another person. And it's not just simply thankful for them, but share with them your gratitude list. Again, not just the things that you're thankful for that I already mentioned, but telling others, again, that you are thankful for what the camaraderie that you have, just all of the richness of what God has given us together. And we need to do this more as a body of Christ. We all know this helps to strengthen connection with others. And I say that we should enter in fully and let our praise and worship overflow as a gathered community, not only in doing it often, but as we do it. He talks about singing with sincerity. You know what? Sing loud. If someone stares at you, smile and keep on going. Motion the hands to your ear. Can I hear you? Or if someone is singing loud, you try to match it and exceed it. That's what I say to my people here as I've shared this message here at church. How about living then again, verse 17? We want to notice things, both the great and small things. A beautiful sunset, kids laughing in the next room, how your spouse always brews the coffee and sets your favorite mug next to the pot, or your friend who always texts you back, or sends you an emoji or an inspiring picture. This helps to develop a muscle memory. We need to develop a muscle memory of appreciation for all of life. You know, I had this experience not long ago here in Davison, where we live, which is on the outskirts of Flint, out where we live. We have a train that goes by at 4 a.m., 250 yards from our bedroom window. One morning, I was really fretting over a particular situation, being very, very unthankful for the way something was going. And to add to that annoyance, 4 a.m., there went that train 250 miles, not miles, 250 yards away from my window. And the Lord said to me, "Pray thankfulness." So I said, "Lord, thanks for the prosperity and commerce represented by that obnoxious train. And thank you, Lord, for Dr. Steve Anthony, the Eastern Michigan DS, who, when we needed a place to go after leaving Colorado Springs, believed in us and brought us to a wonderful ministry at Richfield, where we've been almost here for almost 16 years. And oh, and that annoying matter that began to stir in my mind again, I said, you know what? Thanks God for the perspective. And you know what? It wasn't very long till I was zonked out, going right and peacefully asleep. This brings us to some other words of Paul, short but powerful, in chapter 4, verse 2. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Well, we know, and we all know this. I know I'm preaching to the choir, but you know, it's stuff I have to be remembered all the time. I want to take time in my daily reflection in prayer to remember that thankfulness must be an indispensable part of it. It's got to be my default setting when I approach my prayer time. There should be a portion of my prayer time in which I set apart this moment past and think about past and present. I think about hope for the future, and I think about all of that encased in thankfulness. This watchfulness, when he says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, putting those things together. This alertness, we don't always put together with thankfulness, but what if we put that alertness together, being watchful together with our thankfulness? Well, I think we see not only a bigger role for thankfulness, but I just think that we just see in a much larger picture what our prayers can do. Watchful prayer is praying then within God's will. Thankfulness will keep me focused on where God's will has been done, where God's will is being done, where God's will be done. So again, I've found that my prayer life is more effective in being watchful and vigilant along with thankfulness, in asking God to intervene in things and with people with which I am concerned. So today then, kind of for my little benediction, I'm going to choose a little song that speaks of thankfulness as a default setting. It's in a great theological work called White Christmas, sung by two theologians, Rosemary Clooney and Bing Crosby. I'm not going to sing it for you. Aren't you glad? But here's the quote. "When I'm worried and I can't sleep, I count my blessings instead of sheep. And I fall asleep counting my blessings. When my bankroll is getting small, I think of when I had none at all. And I fall asleep counting my blessings. I think about a nursery and I picture curly heads, and one by one I count them as they slumber in their beds. If you're worried and you can't sleep, just count your blessings instead of sheep, and you'll fall asleep counting your blessings."